Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Everyday Black History. Happy Monday to you all today on this January 13th. Wow, January 13th, we're already 2 weeks into 2020, man. But happy Monday to you all. Hopefully you all had a nice weekend, and I know Mondays, you know, usually suck because it's the beginning of the week, but, you know, if you made it, if you woke up this morning, it's always a blessing. But happy Monday to you all today, and tell you on Everyday Black History, we are continuing talking about banking black and black-owned banks and the importance of black-owned financial institutions to black people. And today we're going to be talking about one of the oldest banks that's still around. It started back in the 1920s, and this bank is Citizens Trust Bank. And Citizens Trust Bank is a bank that's in the headquarters is in Atlanta, Georgia, and that's where it was started. And Citizens Trust is basically responsible for a lot of the growth for black people that Atlanta has become known for. As we talk a little bit about Citizens Trust, we'll talk about that and cover that. But, you know, over the years, Atlanta has been known for a place where, you know, black people can grow in business and, you know, become homeowners and, you know, basically get that piece of the American pie or fulfill the American dream that has been, you know, kept away from us for so long. But I know a lot of people from New York who's moved to Atlanta over the last, I would say, you know, 20, 25 years. And they've moved down there and have done very well for themselves in business and home ownership. And it inspired legions of people to move down there as well. And Citizens Trust Bank, as mentioned, has kind of been in the forefront of, you know, building up Atlanta to what it's become, to what we know it to be now throughout the 20th century. Now, Citizens Trust Bank was started back in 1921. And the interesting thing about Citizens Trust is that it was started because one of the owners started it because of his experience with discrimination. So he went into a white-owned store so that he can be fitted for a pair of socks. And the owner of the store naturally told him to leave in more than likely a not-so-polite way. And because of that, him and four other black businessmen, they are known as the Fervent Five. They formed a Citizens Trust Bank, and they formed it so that black businessmen and women can own and operate businesses independently of white-owned financial institutions. And the bank was officially started on August 16th, 1921, and it opened on Auburn Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, throughout the 1920s, it continued to fulfill its purpose, its original purpose of providing, you know, financial loans to black-owned business, to black businessmen and businesswomen. And in 1927, the bank reorganized itself with new articles of incorporation and bylaws, making itself more official so that, you know, it can be looked at as a respectable financial institution, you know, so that, you know, other people can take it seriously. They began to enact these new articles of incorporation. And throughout the history of Citizens Trust Bank, they have been different presidents and different CEOs, and each one always added to the growth of the company and the expansion of the bank. Citizens Trust Bank has always done well throughout its run. I mean, in its early days, it was doing so well that in 1933 to 30s was during the Great Depression in the United States. And the Great Depression, up until 2008, was known as the worst economic time for this country. I mean, you know, people who were millionaires lost their fortunes overnight because of the stock crash. People were committing suicide, bread lines going, you know, two, three blocks down. But in 1933, when FDR, the president at the time, Franklin D. Roosevelt, was sworn into office, he declared a bank holiday. And that was 4 days where all banks, the nation's banks, were forced to close and halt all its financial transactions so that it would allow the administration a time to develop a plan to address the banking, the current banking crisis, or the banking crisis at that time. But Citizens Trust was doing so well, and it was operated in such a sound way that they were one of the first banks to reopen and be able to reopen. Many other banks during that time folded, you know, closed its doors. But there are quite a few black-owned banks, Citizens Trust being one of them, that was able to reopen and continue to serve the black community. Now, shortly after that, Citizens Trust became the first black-owned bank to become a member of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which we know as the FDIC. I'm sure if you go in any bank, you see those letters, the FDIC. And by 1948, Citizens Trust became the first black-owned bank to join the Federal Reserve Bank. So that right there just goes to show, in 25, 26 years in existence, Citizens Trust managed to grow and weather the storm of the Great Depression to where it was added to the FDIC and the Federal Reserve. And you can imagine at the time when this bank was started that there were many people who thought that this bank was going to fail and that it wasn't going to be able to fulfill its obligation to the black community. But as we can see so far, leading up to the 40s, it was doing just that. Now, the 1950s is when Citizens Trust began to invest in developing, you know, in the black community. And it got into developing the development of housing subdivisions throughout the southwest part of Atlanta, creating neighborhoods that would become some of the most affluent residential areas for black Americans in the country. The Hunter Road Project was one of them, and that was developed using a special program of the Federal Housing Administration. And Citizens Trust developed the Mosley Park subdivision, and that was a subdivision which white banks would not provide mortgages. Citizens Trust stepped in, provided the money, and allowed this development to start. And they also provided financing of the Morris Brown subdivision and the Bankhead and Hightower communities. And it was also instrumental in providing financing for when black Americans decided that they wanted to move into white communities. Of course, you know, if they went to one of the mainstream banks, then those banks would probably laugh at them, you know, but Citizens Trust provided that funding. So as mentioned in the beginning of this episode, Citizens Trust helped to develop a lot of what Atlanta has become today and a lot of the affluent neighborhoods. You know, if you drive down any of these, you know, nice parts in Atlanta, you know, if you're in the Atlanta area and you drive down any of them, you can more than likely owe its origins to Citizens Trust Bank. And that's really, truly, like, you know, for us bias type of mentality. And even the fact that, you know, like me personally, I would want to be around my own, you know. But even for those who decided, hey, we're going to move to this community where there's more white people, Citizens Trust provided that financing to allow them to do that if they so chose. They did so well during these times that they were even able to open up their first branch office, which was known as the West Side Branch. Now, in the 1960s was when they built their headquarters at 75 Piedmont Avenue, which is still the headquarters of Citizens Trust Bank. Now, the head of the bank at the time was a man, by the name of Lorimer D. Milton. And Lorimer D. Milton was a part of the bank during the 1920s, since its origin. Back in when they first, you know, became an incorporated bank, he came on as the cashier or treasurer of the bank. And he helped to grow the bank during the Great Depression, during World War II, and racial segregation. It was him who spearheaded the growth of these neighborhoods, these subdivisions that became some of the affluent neighborhoods that we know of today. And it was him who decided in the mid-1960s that a new headquarters was needed. And that's when they opened up the new facility at 7575 Piedmont Avenue. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Excuse me if I'm not. And after the completion of the building, then he retired. But as mentioned, his direction, the bank under his direction, grew to what it became up until that point in the 1960s. Over that 40-year period, he helped to see it through some hard times and help it to grow. I mean, he did so well that when he came on to Citizens Trust, they had $300,000 in total assets at the beginning of his tenure. And by the time he left in the mid-60s, it grew to $26 million in total assets by the time that he retired. So after he retired, he turned over the reins and to a man by the name of Charles Reynolds in 1971, who was the bank's executive vice president. And he ran the bank for only a few years, about 4 years, until he turned it over to another man by the name of Owen Funderburg. And he was the president and CEO of another bank in St. Louis, Gateway National Bank. And he took over Citizens Trust Bank in 1975. He became the CEO and president. Now, under his tenure, the bank continued to grow even further and expand even further. It expanded its role in the National Bankers Association, which was a group of all the nation's minority-owned commercial banks. And under his leadership, I mean, they did banks with Korean entities, with, you know, all other, you know, any minority-owned banks that was around at that time, under his leadership, Citizens Trust did business with. Under his effective, his management style was so effective that many advances was made by the bank during his administration. By the 1980s, Citizens Trust had increased its total assets to $96 million, and it was named the Bank of the Year by Black Enterprise magazines, as well as other well-known publications of the time. It was touted as being an effective bank, a reliable bank. And, you know, whatever you're putting your money into, you want to make sure that it's a reliable financial institution. By 1990, the bank had over $100 million in assets, and it challenged at the time, there were two other banks that were considered the largest African-American-owned banks, Industrial Bank in Washington, D.C., was one of them, and another one by the name of Seaway National Bank in Chicago. So they would always challenge Citizens Trust as being, you know, the top three banks, or they would kind of, you know, challenge one another at one point or another of being the biggest black-owned commercial bank in the country. But Funderburg retired in 1992 after being with the bank for 17 years. But as mentioned, under his tenure, the bank grew from $26 million in assets to over $100 million in assets, showing how, you know, effective he was at running the bank. Now, after he retired, it was turned over to a man by the name of William Gibbs in 1992. And under Gibbs, Citizens Trust continued to expand, and they expanded by opening new in-store branches at grocery stores and supermarkets. You know how you go to a supermarket and you see that you usually a lot of supermarkets will have the bank inside there. Well, that's how he was able to expand Citizens Trust even further by opening it into supermarkets. One of them at the time was a grocery store by the name of Cub Foods, and he developed a new motto for the bank, which was strength through progress. And that was indeed an effective motto for the bank as it continued to grow in the 90s. He resigned in July 1997, and during that time was when the bank was deciding to merge with other minority black-owned banks. One of which was First Southern Bank. And the president of First Southern Bank was a man by the name of James Young. and he would assume the presidency of the two merged banks. That merger was finalized in January of 1998, and he took over the helm of Citizens Trust in February, and that merger expanded its total assets to $191 million. And Citizens Bank also continued giving back to the community. It was known that Citizens Bank was a bank that, you know, church, that it was known as a leading church lender. So different churches can go to Citizens Trust to apply for loans, for repairs or rebuilds to these religious, you know, homes. And Citizens Trust solicited the partnership with three other minority-owned banks and loaned the historic Ebenezer Baptist Church $5.5 million to finance the construction of a new sanctuary in June of 1998. You know, and as we know, you know, in the black community, the churches are, you know, churches just like barbers and salons. There's certain places that are mainstays, places that we can go to feel safe. And they contributed to the growth of this church and keeping it a place that people can go to and worship or, you know, associate or whatever it is that the people would use that church for. Because sometimes churches are used for more than just religious functions, you know, weddings, funerals, things like that. Now, in the spring of 1999, Jimmy Young announced that the common stock of Citizens Trust was available in the public market, which allowed normal everyday people to buy a piece, basically, of Citizens Trust Bank. And the bank stock began to trade publicly. Citizens Trust also became the first black-owned bank in the nation to become part of the Small Business Administration's Preferred Lender Program. So that way, anybody who want to start a business, like I mentioned, you want to start a barbershop, a salon, you want to, you know, any unique business, that you car wash, you know, auto repair shop, you know, things like that, Citizens Trust was the go-to bank for small business loans, as they were part of the Small Business Administration Preferred Lender Program. And so, thus continuing to contribute to Atlanta being the black hub for businesses and for home ownership. Now, by 2000, Citizens Trust had assumed and purchased most of the assets of another black-owned bank, Atlanta's Mutual Federal Savings Bank. And through that acquisition, it increased its assets to $250 million. And it acquired other banks as well, continuing to grow and continuing to increase its assets. It acquired Citizens Federal Savings Bank in Birmingham, Alabama, which was opened by another black businessman, A.G. Gaston, in 1957, as well as a few other smaller banks that might have been on the verge of bankruptcy or insolvency. They would buy it, merge it into its own, and increase their own assets. Citizens Bank has over $400 million in total assets. And it, as mentioned, it's still, you know, right at its headquarters at 75 Piedmont Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia. So, you know, here's a black-owned bank that's been around since 1921 and that has a solid reputation that can, that, you know, as we mentioned in our last episode, we talked about banking black. You know, this is a financial institution right here that we can, you know, put our money into. As mentioned, you know, we as black Americans, $1.2 trillion in spending power. And we just put some of that back into our black-owned banks and our black-owned businesses. Imagine how well we can continue to thrive. So, Citizens Bank, you know, we covered today. Citizens Trust Bank, rather, we covered today. And tomorrow we'll come back with another episode, and we'll have another bank that we'll be covering, which is One United Bank, located in Boston, and that's the largest black-owned bank in the country. But I figured we can cover Citizens Trust because that's one of the oldest that's been around, you know, since almost 100 years. Next year it will be 100 years that Citizens Trust has been in existence. 1921, we're in 2020 right now. So we just wanted to, you know, cover that and talk a little bit about that. I mean, anybody in the Atlanta area who's listening to the podcast, and, you know, if you're not familiar with Citizens Trust or banking with Citizens Trust, maybe, you know, look into it and do some research. I know I am myself, you know, and do some online banking with Citizens Trust Bank, because, you know, if we start banking black, then these banks can continue to grow and we can see more of them pop up throughout the country. I mean, think about it. There's a Chase Bank all over the country. There's Bank of America's all over the country. And, you know, there's, you know, maybe about 6 to 10 branches of, you know, your average black-owned bank that's around today in the whole country. So we just, you know, want to, you know, get more of us to bank black and, you know, keep these black-owned banks in existence and growing. And it'll make it easier for all of us to get our own financial dreams to come true, whether it's home ownership or opening a business. So Citizens Trust Bank is who we cover today. And do your research on them and look them up and, you know, see what they can offer you. And tomorrow, we'll be coming, for our episode tomorrow, we'll be covering One United Bank in Boston, Massachusetts, all right? But that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. And stay tuned for the next one.